Good morning, Crossville Church.
Good morning.
Thank you all for being here this morning. If anybody's joining us on Facebook, please make sure that you comment. Let us know that you are watching. And we appreciate you for joining to worship with us. 5 o'clock this evening, choir practice will be happening like it normally does. So choir members, make sure that you show up for that. And then we will be having a special service this evening that the children will be presenting the Tale of Three Trees. So we will all be meeting here in the family life, or in the sanctuary this evening. So please make sure you come out and support the kids. And tomorrow evening at 6:30, Wayne has packets for you in the sound booth. So make sure that you swing through and see him on your way out the doors and get your packet to be ready for tomorrow night. Men's ministry is meeting this upcoming Saturday at 9. Wayne will be sending out an email probably later in the week to check in and see how many of you gentlemen are planning on being there, but please let him know so he knows how to plan. Mother's Day is next Sunday, so everybody don't forget to get something nice for moms and grandmas and everything like that. You can't say that I didn't warn you and that it snuck by you, so don't forget to get something for those special ladies in your life for next week. Continue to be checking out our table in the foyer for different things that Bread of Life has going on, for different sign-ups. And, Jim, do you have something?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, awesome. Everybody give yourself a hand. And for Jim and Karen, too, but said 93 were served last night at Bread of Life. So thank you to everybody who brought food. Thank you to everybody who got together to put those meals together. But Bread of Life continues to grow and continue to touch more people in the community. So keep checking on the table back there for different items you can bring or different ways you can help out. But thank you for the way you've supported that ministry. And appreciate Jim and Karen for the way that they are supporting that ministry and helping us stay plugged in and involved. Also, we have highway bags that we made last Sunday night. Thank you to everybody who stayed and helped with that. Please make sure you grab some of those as you go out the door to hand out to people that you see on the side of the road or out and about at Walmart or wherever you think that they may need a couple of non-perishable food items to help them out. Also, we have mentioned in the newsletter for several weeks, but I don't think I have announced it from the pulpit. We are collecting our crisis care kits that we normally do. There are the sheets of paper that have what all is on them and the Ziploc bags out in the foyer on the table. So please make sure that you grab some of those. We're collecting those for disaster response like we normally do, and we'll be taking those to District Assembly in July. But we want to go ahead and get ahead of that because July is not that far away. So please make sure that you are picking up some of those items. We have a collection box in the cloakroom, and it has a sign on it so that you can put those completed bags in there. And we appreciate you all for always supporting that. All right. One other thing. On Monday night, the 22nd of May, we will be having missionaries here. Somebody that Pastor Jack and Faye know. I'm pointing at him, and he's not over here. But they are the Frasers from Kenya. They serve at African Nazarene University, so that will be on a Monday night. But we'll be having a zone rally here with some of the other Nazarene churches in the area. So go ahead and put that on your calendar, and we'll have some more details about time. Fran's telling me time. I think 6. I don't remember. So 6 sounds right. See, I'm no good. So just put it on your calendar. You don't have to know the time. You just put it to the 22nd. That's close enough. So, all right, thank you all for being here.
As so much stronger.
Good morning, Crossville Church of the Nazarene. Well, you may not know me. My name is Jack. Most of the kids around here know me because I do VBS for them some. And I've had opportunity indeed to be blessed in my life. This first thing I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to ask Jordan, come here. Jordan Boyles, he's going in the U.S. Navy. What about that? Come on. I want you to sit right here and face them. Yeah. Smile at them. Okay. Oh, he's going to sit there. All right. Now, you think about joining the U.S. Navy. I joined the U.S. Navy in 1968. Matter of fact, the Gideons were there. I still have the little New Testament they gave me since 1968. And I have it marked up with my giving of my heart and life to the Lord and my trust in Him, because I did it all of my life, really. But this was the first Bible I really had. And growing up, we didn't have much, but I finally got a Bible. Well, it's a New Testament. It's got Psalms and Proverbs in it, and I have written in it the life highway to Christ. I am blessed. So this morning, I want to, if you're a veteran, would you just kind of raise your hand? Come, can you see them all? Jordan? Come on. We volunteered. We became part of this great country to support it and protect it. And most of all, my opportunity I had to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I got to pray on the ships. I got to read scriptures on the ship at night for the cruise. It's been part of my life, and I'm so happy of that. But this morning, Jordan, I want to read to you this morning it's out of Isaiah 41:10. It's a prayer for the new recruits, what it is. But it says in these words, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's a promise, Jordan, for you. For realizing indeed that God's going to be with us. You know, to have somebody to pray for me, I've got a part of my sermon I'm going to give you at the end. But for the first time in my life, I received a letter. I'll tell you about it in a moment. But they were praying for me. That was my first year in the military. Boot camp in 68. I was in Naval Air Station in 69. It was during that time I received that letter. It impacted my life so much that somebody was praying for me. You don't realize that. For a young guy, I'll tell you all this story later, but for somebody like me, to realize that somebody was praying for me, that impacted my life. And Jordan, I hope it impacts your life. I'm praying that maybe from this church or somebody that you will write him a letter and let him know you're praying for him. Amen, church?
Amen.
It also says out of Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God is with us. Amen. We know that. We may have some difficult times. There may be some troubling times in our lives. But God is with us.
Amen.
Hold to that. There are no difficult times in your life. Realize that God is for you. Who dared be against you? You love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
He loves you. Jordan, I'm going to talk a little louder so that I don't have a mic. Can y'all hear me?
Stand with me as you are able, as we lift our voices in praise to God.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ. His own blood.
Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. A day, oh Lord, we come together to worship you. To realize, oh God, your blessings in our lives. How you have blessed us, oh God. How you continue to touch our lives each and every day. For Lord, there are many needs this morning. Many who are sick. Many who are hurting. There are those, Lord, who are homebound and unable to get out. God, you know each and every one of them. We pray for them this morning, Lord. We ask, oh God, your touch upon their lives. Bring comfort to them. Bring healing upon their bodies. Bring, I pray, peace. Let your peace, Lord, be with them. Father, this is a day, Lord, you've given us. And in it, oh God, we're going to praise you. We're going to thank you. We're going to honor you, Lord, in everything we are and everything we do. Lord, have your way and will. Let your will be done. In the holy and blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen and amen. You may be seated.
Somebody's praying. I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me. To protect me from what I can see, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, somebody's praying for me. Angels are watching, I can feel it. Angels are watching over me. There's many miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before your throne. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Your angels are watching over me. Well, I've walked the barren wilderness where my pillow was a stone, and I've been through the darkest cavern where no light has ever shone. Still I went on, 'cause there was someone who was down on their knees. And Lord, I thank you for these people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me.
Thank you very much. Wow. And aren't you glad somebody is praying for you? When I think about the church, I go way back in there. I'm going to let you know that. I'm almost 73, so I've been around a little bit. But to realize the church, how blessed we are to be a part of the church. In times like this, when there's so much going on, and I know in our lives, many of us are going through some tough times, but you know, somebody's praying for us. When the church prays, things happen. You know, I remember this text this morning out of Acts chapter 12, verse 5. And it speaks about prayer. You see, there was a time indeed of life of the church when some difficulty was going on. Well, matter of fact, in the beginning, things were going pretty good for the church. You go back into it, and you realize that when the church prays, that out of Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it says these words. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Wow. That should be moving our hearts this morning. When the church is earnestly praying to God for someone. And you know, we have a lot of people that are homebound. We have some that are sick. We have some in the hospital this morning. Some in different places. There's some probably this morning that probably may be here not feeling real good. Not, probably going through some difficult times. But you know, something happens when the church prays. I know that we can go through our closet and realize that when the church prays, there are three responses to it I have this morning. And with that and in that, I find it first and foremost that when the church prays, there's the world's response. You know, whether it be good or bad, the world responds to us. In the early beginnings of the church, we realized and through that God had blessed the church, and the early days of the church, it witnessed the power of God. It witnessed a moving and some miraculous miracles that happened. For you see, out of Acts chapter 2, verse 41, there was a time when Peter was speaking that 3,000 people were saved in one occasion. 3,000? I'd like to see one this morning. You know, that people would come to the Lord. that will desire that, that they want to change their lives or live for Him who died for them. That makes a tremendous impact upon us. Church, we need to be praying. I know we have opportunities to pray. I'm part of that. But it's something exciting when the church prays. In those early days, 3,000 had come to be saved. And another occasion, in Acts 4:4, there were 5,000 who were saved on one occasion. Whew. I don't think we'll get that many in this place. But you could imagine that? Could we be somehow astonished this morning that God answers our prayers? We'd all be excited that God hears us. He desires to hear us. When the church prays, for you know that the early church was marked by the manifest presence and power of God. Their church was growing. God was glorified. Jesus was being preached, and sinners were being saved. It happened. It still happens. All right, I'll get one amen out of that. You know? Do you know? And I understand that when we glorify God and truly when we in our lives we preach Jesus, things happen to those who hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, in the early church, with so many was turning from Judaism to Christianity, that it kind of upset the hierarchy. And the church came under some persecution. The world's response to that, these Jewish leaders tried to arrest the apostles, and they forbid them, remember, to preach in the gospel out of Acts 4, verse 1 through 23. They forbid them to preach. It didn't work. So they arrested Stephen, you remember? They tried him and they stoned him in an effort to stop the growth of the church. It didn't work. Aren't we glad? They continued their efforts against the church. They used Saul of Tarsus, you remember? But he wound up getting saved. Huh? It's in the Bible. It's there. These things happened. And we look at it, they know they scattered church to the four winds of the earth, and the church continued to grow and prosper. But you know, in the world's effort out of Acts chapter 12, which I come to this morning, they tried to change it again. They tried their best to stop it. They did what they could do, indeed, to somehow in Acts to tell the church to stop it. King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church. You see that in chapter 12, verse 1? King Herod, he had arrested some people that belonged to the church. Not just anybody. He did it intending to harass them and intending indeed to persecute them. Wow. You know, he had James, the brother of John. He killed him with a sword. And when the Jews kind of liked that, he went after Peter. He arrested Peter. And he put him in prison. And it was during that time, it was the festival of unleavened bread. And that was a symbol of deliverance and mercy, if you remember, out of the Passover, that to deliver from bondage and reliance on God. That today they linked it all together, because the Bible tells us here that in verse 5 of chapter 12, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. You think that made a difference? Would it make a difference in your life today if the church gathered and prayed for you? Thank you. You know, I've been blessed in my life to be able indeed to serve in the Church of the Nazarene. Man, many of you know, if you were here the first day I preached on a Wednesday night, this is my first time doing it on Sunday morning. Hey. But you realize that for me, I grew up in a little old church somewhere, it was a little Missionary Baptist church in Scottsboro. You don't know what Scottsboro is. Mom and Dad didn't go to church. Some people come by and picked us up in a van and took us, just kids, to church. That's my introduction to the church. But you know, I had a Sunday school teacher that was, I told you all about this tall and about, well, I don't know. She was a beautiful lady. For me, a little slurny kid that I was, she hugged me like I'd never been hugged before in my life. You know, there were eight of us kids. I was a middle boy with a bunch. But to find somebody cared for me, you know, I didn't get that from my mom that much. I told y'all before, I don't remember my mom ever telling me she loved me. I'm sorry, but you know, I know enough times back in those days and a bunch of us running around. But this Sunday school teacher, she said she loved me. Do you know what that would do to a kid? Do you understand what it does in our lives or the church when somebody would pray for us? You see, they arrested Peter and put him in jail, and they thought that would be it. But you know, I think O'Hare realized that, you know, he had tried that one other time, and he got out, you remember? The Lord opened the doors, he got out. Well, this time they had four soldiers each. That's 16 people that was guarding him. That's the world's response. When I look at how they arrested him and put him in prison and all that they did to him to keep him from doing that. But you know, that did not stop the church from praying. Did you see that in verse 5? He was there. They locked him in, but they couldn't lock God out. The church was praying and something happened. You think it's important when the church prays? When I look at the church, you know, when the church prays, if you go back to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, it was a story of Elisha. You know, he had taken over from Elijah, and when the servant of Elisha got up one morning out of verse 15 through 17, and an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city, he said to Elisha, "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" The prophet said, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed that the Lord would open the eyes of his servant that he may see. The Lord opened his servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You think something happened when the church would pray? Wow, come on, church. We're a powerhouse here. You don't know that? We're somebody. We're God's people. I don't care what the world says. I don't. God loves us so much that he sent his one and only Son into this world to die on the cross for our sins. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's our promise. Church, he's talking to us. When I look at this excitement in the church and the church had prayed and something began to happen around the jail that day. Out of Psalms 34:7, it says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them." And he is about to deliver old Peter from the jail. You know the story. You probably heard it 5,000 times, but understand it. When the church prayed, something happened. The church was praying for Peter. Peter's in jail because Herod was after him. He wanted to bring him out and do away with him the next day after the Passover, you remember? But before he could do that, God answers. I want you to look closely here in verse 7 through 10. It says, suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and his chains fell off of Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals, and after Peter did so, wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. And Peter followed him out through the prison, but he had no idea that the angel was doing was really happening. He thought maybe he was in a vision or dreaming here. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened by itself. Huh? The iron gate opened by itself, and they thought they went through it. And when they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him, and Peter came to himself and said, I know without a doubt the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me. Do you understand what could be happening today if we really prayed? Come on. Do you understand what would be happening today if, as a church, we really prayed? I mean, you know, we call up on the name of the Lord. You know, God, his response is to answer the prayer of his people. The third response is the churches. Do we respond when we pray? Come on. I mean, we're praying. Do we believe that God's going to hear us? No, without a doubt. Jordan, I want you to know that when you go off that military, the church is going to be praying. I hope you remember that. Church, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you go pray for Jordan, will you raise your hand? Jordan, sorry, you're covered. Because we are wanting, we're willing that we'll pray, that we'll respond to that. You know, you look at the church here, the people at Mary's house, when Peter got out, he went to Mary's house because they were meeting there also, and they were praying, and God answered there and reached Peter. He came knocking on the door, and the servant girl come running up to it. She didn't open the door. She recognized his voice. She runs back and tells everybody else, hey, Peter's at the door. I mean, she opened it. But anyway, they've been there and they're praying for Peter, and he's at the door. And something else tells me about this in the story here. When they let Peter in, they were astonished. Come on. We should be in expectation of that answer, huh? We should be expecting that when we pray, the Lord's going to hear us and he's going to answer us. And then through that, I found throughout it that we serve a mighty God. I don't care. We you know, there's a story told that the family and friends of a farmer who had gathered to pray for rain caused it to end a terrible drought one day. They had gathered to pray because they needed rain. And when they gathered, only one little girl showed up with an umbrella. When we come together, do we expect God to hear us? Do we expect God's prayer to answer our prayers? I hope so. You don't have to come here with an umbrella, but, you know, realize that we're in the expectation that what God's going to do for us if we ask him. You know, there's an old song in a songbook that says, and can it be? It captures kind of the drama of all this. It says, long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin, nature's night. Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eyes diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. God hears and answers the prayers of the church. If you go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I'll let you know the story there. It was a time indeed when Solomon had prayed. If you go back and read his prayer, it's a long prayer. In dedication of that temple. And when Solomon finished praying, fire fell from heaven. It scared a lot of Israelites to death, but fire fell from heaven and to the answer of the cry of Solomon. And when he had finished praying, the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. You know how many times I've heard that during the revival services? But it's true. Okay. If you believe this morning, would you raise your hand? If you believe that when God hears us, if my people, hey, that's us. If we would humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, wow, he has promised to hear us and forgive us and heal us. He has said that. In verse 15, he says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attended to the prayers offered in this place, the temple, the church. For us, here we are. Where two or three are gathered, he'll be with us. And remember, it's scriptural. Do this, it's yes, it's no. Two or three are gathered, he's promised to be with us. And he said, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers made in this place. You know, out of James 5, last part of verse 16, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I'm going to conclude with this. I told you that the first time I remember somebody telling me, I am praying for you, it was in a letter received from my aunt. Now, Aunt Tilda, I really didn't know her. Aunt Katie, her sister, I knew. Aunt Katie, she helped raise my younger brother because we're not quite a year apart. The mom still had me and another kid shows up. And Aunt Katie kind of helps out a little bit. Aunt Katie raised my mom and sister, her sister. When her mother had died, their dad took them upstairs in the attic, put them in the attic and left. My mother and her sister. I didn't know about this for a long time. Aunt Katie told me about it. I read that. I said, wow. Someone heard their crying and helped them from the attic vent. And my Aunt Katie, which was my mother's mother's sister, you know, her aunt. Really, my Aunt Katie was my mother's aunt. But that's all we ever knew about. Her sister, Aunt Tilda, she was in a county hospital. You know what a county hospital is? You don't have much. You can't afford something. You're out there. That was Aunt Tilda. And I received this letter when I was in the Navy. And you got to remember, my mother died when I was 17. I didn't join the Navy until I was 18. And during that little time frame there, that was April. I would have been graduating June. I kind of backed away from school. I didn't want to, I kind of gave up on this stuff. Faye's dad told me I couldn't come back unless I go back to school. So I went back to school. And after school, when I turned 18, I signed up for the draft. I joined the Navy the same day. It was December that I was sworn in, and I received that little New Testament. That's, I still got it. That'd be 55 years this year. You know, I received that thing. And I received a letter one day when I was at the Naval Air Station in Auburn, Georgia. And it was from Aunt Tilda. I looked at it. In there, she was telling me about different things. And she says, "I am praying for you." It stuck with me. It's still there. I can't get it. It's here. Somebody was praying for me. You know, after all the church I've been through and as a kid, after mom died, all that stuff, nobody ever told me that. But to hear that somebody's praying for you, wow. I really never got to meet Aunt Tilda until I was discharged from the Navy, and I was called to preach, and I'd got my district license. I'd been on all that. And my pastor and I visited her at the county hospital one day, and I thanked her for the prayers that she prayed for me. For her, just what happened, and I held a little service for her. Smile came up on her face I've never seen, you know? To realize that someone was praying for me. Do you understand that prayer changes things? It did for me. So I don't care who you are this morning, and maybe some things you may be going through this morning. In conclusion with that, we realize that when we pray, when the church prays, things happen. Come on. It's there. When the church prays, things happen. Change happened in the believer. It also happened in the non-believer who became believers. We got a little time left. I usually don't look at clocks. But hear me. I remember in Cuba, in Ecuador, in Costa Rica. These are three places I've been on mission trips. I've been total 18 mission trips. And I went to Nairobi, Kenya, where the Frasers are coming. I was there in 99. Matter of fact, Fraser's dad, Orrin Fraser, was my fifth grade teacher. Hey, he still knows me. We've been on about four or five mission trips together. This old man can work. But he remembered me. How many teachers remember a little 5th grade little kid that, you know. When I joined the Navy, I was 135 pounds. You were bigger than I was, Jordan. I'm 250 now, but back then I was skinny. But to realize all that God has done in my life because somebody was praying. Maybe this morning there's somebody in your family. Maybe it's kids. Maybe it's sisters, brothers. How many do you know this morning that needs Jesus Christ in their lives? You know? You don't know nobody that knows. Your neighbors don't need Jesus. Hey, we all know somebody that needs Jesus. Can you imagine what would happen to them if we prayed? You know where I'm going with this. I'm going to ask you to pray this morning. I mean, you may not be able to get around these altar or front pews, but you can sit where you're at, or you can come here at one. I'd love to see you here. And, you know, our pastor is off traveling. Brother Tyler is gone. I mean, bless Ellie. I've been hearing some good news on her. Wow. But, you know, the church is praying. And there's many others that's going through difficulties. Church, I'm asking you to pray for them, that God would bring healing upon them, that he would help them, that he would comfort them, that he'd bring peace upon them, that today is a day that something's going to happen because the church prayed. Do you believe that? I'm going to close in prayer. But I'm going to ask you, if anybody want to come up here and pray in these altars and maybe the front pews, or if you want to be where you're at, that's okay.
But I'm going to ask God to do something. To change somebody's heart. Change somebody's life. Make a difference that Jesus Christ becomes Lord and Savior of their lives. And we may see them in church next week. Who knows? God does. God knows. Will you help me to pray this morning, church? We're going to pray for Jordan also. He's not getting away from us. He can't get away from God. He may run from us, but God is going to be there. He's going to be here this morning. He's already here because we've gathered. Shall we pray, Lord? Lord Jesus, we acknowledge this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. And Father, today the church wants to come together and pray. Lord, we pray where we are this morning. I know we have our prayer clauses, but it's something about when the church comes together and we lift our voices in one accord, asking, oh God, you come down, Lord. You touch these lives, Lord. You our sons and our daughters, our grandchildren, our neighbors, those who we work with, whoever they may be this morning, oh God. You know each and every one. You know what they're going through. I just pray, oh God, you bring them. I pray peace. May they in turn call upon your holy name to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, it'd make a difference. Oh God, how it has made a difference in our lives, Lord. And it will make a difference in others' lives if they have come to a point in their life where they say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Oh Lord, you died on the cross for our sins. Lord, you died, you were buried, you rose victorious from the grave. And Lord, you're in heaven to intercede, oh God, this day. Father, you hear the cries of your people. But Lord, you said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, pray, seek your face, turn from our wicked way, that you would hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal their lands. Lord, our land needs healing this morning. Lord, how we need you, Lord. How we need you every moment, oh God. Father, let your will be done. Let there be praise, let there be glory. Oh God, start revival, Lord, through us. That others would come to know Jesus Christ. Oh, just, oh Lord, it don't have to be 1,000. We just want one. Oh Lord, just somebody to come to say, yes, Lord, I need you. I want to be your child. And Lord, it's done. Because you have promised us, O Lord. Bless us, encourage us. Have your way, will. And Lord, in all things be glorified. For we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hey, if you're good, shake somebody's hand and say, come back. Do that.